question on family. How do you accommodate one parent among many who disagree with your youth program? Welcome to ministry life. Yeah. You will always have, the bigger your youth group gets, the more likely it is that you will have that one parent or parents or that group who just disagree with what you're doing. In the book, No Guts, No Glory, which is one of my recommended books for youth ministry, the opening chapter is that kind of thing. But instead of a parent, it's an elder who is saying, gosh, I went down to look at what the youth were doing, and they were just sitting around reading the Bibles. And there was only 20 of them there. When I was in youth, we were playing games, and there was hundreds of kids there. And the question, and where are they all now? Well, I don't know. But they were all there then. And while for a lot of youth pastors now, we've grasped the idea of youth ministry that is based on discipleship and evangelism and Bible reading and learning, there's a whole lot of parents who, don't worry about that, just, you know, those first five things I had up there, just entertain my child. Just give them something to do on a Friday night. That's all that we really want you to do. What do you do with them? Look, I would say to you, stay the course. If you have established with the support of your elders that this is the purpose of our youth ministry, stay on that line and let that be your purpose. And that's what we're going to do. And Mr. Parent, if you don't like that, well, please don't stop your kid from coming along to it, because we think your child does enjoy what we're doing. Why not talk with them about their youth experience when they get home? I would encourage you to talk with those parents so that they know exactly what you are doing and what you're not doing, because they might have grown up in a home that was horrendous, authoritarian, and they're scared that you are doing that to their children, and they don't want that. So when they're arguing against what you're doing, they might in fact be doing that with the very best of intentions and very best of reasons. So don't just assume they hate you. They might just be scared of what might be happening for their child. Invite them along. In fact, I think it's great if you have at least once or twice a year a parents' night. Some churches have had a parents versus youth night, trivia night, or other competitions, and that can be fun. That can be all kinds of fun to see, you know, the 55-year-olds trying to do what their teenage sons can do. If it involves scooters, it's going to end badly. I'm just going to put that out there. But do something to get the parents involved. That will be a good thing. Is youth theology just youthful application, or thinking theology youthfully? Is youth theology just youthful application, or thinking theology youthfully? When I read that, thinking theology youthfully, I think that's not the phrase I want to use. I want to think about theology. And then I want to think about theology, the study of God. What do I know about God? How has God revealed himself in the scriptures? And how do I apply that to my life where I am? And then I want to apply that to ministry. If what I know about God and what he's taught in his scriptures, how do I apply that to ministry? God is a creative God. God is a loving God. God is a calling God, calling people to follow him. God is a holy God. So these kinds of things then apply to ministry. And then I want to take the next step of, then how do I apply that to youth ministry? Because if I want to talk about God being a holy God, there's certainly some, I can talk about that to an older group and a younger group, and there will be some things that will be exactly the same, but there will be some things that will be very different. And the way you would talk to an older group, you might be talking to an older group about, God would be calling this group, now that you're older and you're settled and you've got that, I'm thinking about a retired group, you've got freedom of time, and you've got a lot more freedom of money than you've had before. Make the most of these years and what that might look like. But when you're talking to youth, when you're talking to teenagers, they don't have time freedom, and they don't have money freedom. They have significant difficulties. They have significant difficulties with school, family, sport, expectation, temptation that is happening to them there. So I want to think about how I apply theology to young people. In the church, is there a problem of older married women having no time for younger unmarried women? I should have asked Anne to come and answer this one. Do you want to come and answer this one?
Sure.
In the church, is there a problem of older married women having no time for younger unmarried women? And I'll get Anne to answer this because this is an area that Anne has spent some time studying. This is my wife, Anne, and she's spent much time studying this stuff. So I'll handball this question. But I'll just hand you this little microphone as much as I can. I'm a bit tied up.
Okay, thank you. In the church, is there a problem of older married women having no time for younger unmarried women? I'd have to say the answer is probably yes and no, in the sense that some older married women still have quite young families, so that's a bit of an issue for some women. But if we're thinking older as in older than me, older, I think there is a real issue within not just Presbyterian church circles, but other church circles as well, that older women, and I include myself in that, so from my age up, don't really understand what it means to invest in younger women because they were never invested in themselves. That's a big issue, and that's taken me a number of years, even for my own self, because I was never invested in by the women of the church that I... Well, I can't say I actually grew up in a church because I've cycled through about 26 churches because my parents were ministers and I married a minister. So, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. Yeah. But I can't say I was ever invested in by anybody. And I'm not sure people my age and older really understand what that means. So, yeah, there is a problem. I don't think it's unfixable, though. And I certainly carry a bit of a flag for that and try and work hard to encourage older women to hear what God's Word says, particularly Titus 2. I heard you talking about that before. And understanding their role within a church and the value of that. I myself at the moment am mentoring a girl younger than me, about 20 years younger than me, and I think I'm getting as much out of it as she is. So is there room for hope? Definitely. I think things can change, but I think there needs to be a lot of education and encouragement for older women. Yep.
Terrific. Thank you very much. Anne Harvey, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. How old is too old to be in youth ministry? Well, Anne was talking about her age and up. I won't tell you how old Anne is, but I'm 50, and Anne's a bit younger than me. So I'm 50, and I'm involved in youth ministry. How old is too old to be involved in youth ministry? If I could scroll back quickly to one of those early slides, I would. We're all youth ministers, because we're all ministers of the gospel, and we all know one youth. So at that point, hey, there is no such thing as too old. I want to say at another point, there is no such thing as too old. If you've got a formal youth ministry, and you've got someone in that ministry who's 60 years old, they can be a powerful witness. Our young people need to know that you can be a faithful Christian for the rest of your life. And you can't know that when you're 16. It's difficult to teach that when you're 25 as a youth leader. But when you've got someone in your group who is 65 or 70 even, they can teach that because they're a living example of it. Some of them will be because all of their life has been. Some of them may have had a dramatic transformation and conversion experience later in life and can talk about the value of Christian. They can do the black and white comparison that some of our youth can't. So how old is too old to be in youth ministry? There's no such thing as too old. But it's pretty hard to start in youth ministry at 40. If you are in youth ministry at 20 and stay, and that doesn't mean being the youth pastor for 20 years, it might be that you are a parent and you're involved, you're supporting. It might be you're a church member and you're involved and supporting. But to be involved in youth ministry along the way, when you get to 40, you're still involved. You know the kids, you've seen them grow up. I think it's easy to be in youth ministry at 40, but I think it would be hard to start in youth ministry at 40. So start early and keep going. That would be my grand advice to you. Thank you for writing those questions. Are there any others that you might have before I have a couple of recommendations for you? Yes, mate.
How could the church foster the family aspect of parents teaching their children being good models of the gospel? How can the church better equip parents? How can the youth group leaders or ministers or just the church in general equip parents better?
So how can the church better equip parents for the enormous task of teaching their young people? If I could go back 25 years to when I began in ministry, when Anne and I began in ministry, I wouldn't shut down Sunday school, but I would not have it at the same time as the worship service. Now, I'm not going to suggest that that's the be-all and end-all and that will fix all the problems, because it won't, but I would absolutely change that. I think it's an experiment that was good and done with the best of intentions, but I think the fruit is evident and the fruit is not good. So I would definitely have all ages. When the community comes together to worship, I would do whatever I can to make sure it was the community that comes together in worship. There are churches here, represented here, who have vastly different models, but I'm still going to suggest that that's the biblical model, and I think the better model, to have the whole community together. Now, that's difficult. That's difficult enough when that's what you've grown up with, and that's what I grew up with. To go to a church that for 20 or 30 years has had kids out of church and then to say, we're going to bring the kids in, everybody goes nuts because kids are noisy, kids don't know how to sit during a sermon, parents don't know how to teach their kids to sit during a sermon. Nobody's had to do this stuff. So that creates some difficulty. But I think that would be one thing that would be helpful. I think another thing that would be helpful would be for churches to do parenting courses. One of the reasons Titus talks about, or those chapters, verses in Titus that talk about older women talking to younger women, older men setting the example for younger men, is that you're learning from each other, learning from the older generations. Older people have so much wisdom, and younger people will do well to accept the wisdom of the elders. And I don't mean the elders, the official elders of the church. I mean the elders, the older people of the church. So churches can do things better by running some formal education stuff, parenting courses, There's some books, Help, There's a Child in My Church. Is that the right title? Yeah. Help, There's a Child in My Church. And there are books like that to help churches know what to do with when there are children in the congregation. As a youth minister, what can we do? Have parent nights. They won't all come. One church we were at, and we had parent nights, big issues. We had four big issues that the kids had raised. And so we invited the parents to come along and to hear that. Now, in hindsight, and we kind of did that 4 weeks, bang, 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 and that was too much. It would have been better to have spread that out over two or three terms even. Have one each term or something like that. But they were helpful for parents to come along to know that these are issues that are on the minds of the teenagers. This is how we're responding to that. So you can talk about that with your children when you get home. And there were things like sex and death. I can't remember what the others were, but they were a couple of those big issues. I think as a church leader, we would do well to sit with our elders and to ask that question. How can we better serve the parents of our congregation? Elders would love to serve the youth. How do we build the youth group? That's where the growth is. How do we make the Sunday school better? That's where the stuff is. But perhaps we would do better to say, how can we serve the parents? How can we help the parents? And then that can be practical things like a cry room. That can be that's an enormous help for parents. Actually talking to the children, that can be a great help for parents as well. So I think there's lots of ways, but perhaps some formal courses can be helpful there as well. Thanks, Jesse. Any others?
Can I just add to what Anne said as well?
Yeah.
The mentoring side of things. And correct me if you think this is wrong, but in my experience with having older women mentor me, I've been the one to approach them because for that same reason I felt like people haven't, you know, older women haven't come up to me and said, hey, do you want to be mentored? And I think the person who I've asked in the past to mentor me, she felt quite inadequate to be a mentor, and often, like a lot of women, just think that they're not suitable or, you know, gifted enough to be able to mentor, but I saw something in her that made me want to be mentored by her. So just to keep that in mind as well, that, I don't know, sometimes, yeah, it's good to approach them and let them know that you would like to be
important. And you can do that as an individual, but apply that to your question. You can do that as a young parent. To say to an older couple in the congregation, can you help me? I remember what it was like to be a parent for the first time, and nothing prepares you for being a parent for the first time. And particularly if you're in a place where your parents, the grandparents aren't nearby, the value of a church community is those older people who can assist you, who can help you. Ask them. Time for one more? Then let me just quickly give a bit of a plug for a couple of things. This year is 500 years since Martin Luther banged on the church door in Wittenberg. And I want to suggest here's a couple of things that you should watch this year. The first is this movie on Luther. This is 14 years old now, which astonishes me when I realise it's that old. But this is a good film. And I think it summarises well the history of Martin Luther and the beginnings of the Reformation back in 1517 and beyond. So a good movie to watch. If you've read a bit about Martin Luther, you'll be able to pick up some of the references that are made in here that aren't made clearly, but a really good, I think that's a good depiction of Martin Luther's life. This one, called This Changed Everything, is released this year, marking the 500 years, and narrated by David Suchet, which is a bit of an attraction for us because he's just magnificent. But this is a little more academic, documentary kind of DVD, and three hours of stuff here. It's interesting. I learnt stuff. I think I know a bit, but I learnt stuff watching this. To learn a bit more about the Catholic view of what was happening, to be reminded that there were many in the church who were seeking some kind of reformation or some kind of correction to happen in the church at that time. Martin Luther, Staupitz, who was Luther's confessor, and I'm not sure the Reformation would have happened without Staupitz. We talk about Luther, and we should, but there were a few others in the wings cheering him on. So I'd encourage you to grab that. That's a Kurong at the moment. That, I don't know, but might be on Netflix. Our next training event is a month from now, 1st of May, on the other side of Melbourne at Wyndham. And Alex Venn, Alex was a part of PYV for many years. Alex is working with autistic youth and has been doing that for many years. So I'm looking forward to that. We've got, there's a whole great number of autistic children who have grown up into teenagers. And for most of us, I don't think we're ready for what do we do with autistic teenagers, and how do we have a youth ministry when suddenly there's kids there who just can't sit still, who can't communicate the way we might communicate, and who will just walk off halfway through a conversation. We've got a kid at our church who's like that. I love him. He just makes me laugh. He'll be halfway through a conversation and he'll just wander off. I love it. He's fantastic. So that's there. I just went scrolled on to the next one. Yeah. I see, that's what you were saying. So that's coming up. Tim Hawkins in July. I'm hoping to organise one on science and faith, hopefully for June, and I'll be sending out some emails about that one. And pyv.org.au is where everything is. All our recordings are there. They are free. Please make use of them. Share them. If you would like me to come or someone to come and do some teaching at your church with your youth team, or dare I say it, with your elders, if they'll be a part of that as well, then ask me. I'd be really happy to come to your church. Guys, thank you so much for coming out tonight and being a part.